I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Be part of the voice line. We got plenty of room.
Vacancies.
Vacancies at the Moist Line Hotel. So use the microphone icon on the app to leave a message or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886.
Or they're going to make us take in vagrants, all right? So,
well, speaking of vagrants, we mentioned yesterday, hey, what's going on with that homeless encampment problem there on Beverly Grove, neighborhood of Los Angeles, San Vicente Boulevard?
Big story a month ago, right? We had the naked lady
the naked
on the
woman
sofa.
On the couch.
Blake Trolley was doing reports from there, and everybody was promising to do something. And then the story, as all these stories do, they disappear. But today, there is an announcement that the Beverly Grove encampment on San Vicente Boulevard is being cleaned up. We're going to talk with Dr. Ken Wright. He's an ophthalmologist. He owns a medical building on that stretch. I've known him for years, and we're going to talk to him about whether this is true. We're always skeptical of everything. Dr. Wright, are you there?
I'm there. I'm here, John. And to my amazement, it's 90% better. It's incredible.
And how long did this take?
Well, I mean, it's been out there for over a year and a half, 2 years, but the mayor herself was actually on premises and was helping manage the situation, and they're mostly gone. It's amazing.
How long did it take to get 90% out? To days or a week or how long, do you know?
One day yesterday. They had trucks out there. They had counselors. My understanding is that they placed them into hotel rooms. One group, a couple of people did not want to go, and so they're still working on them. But I think it's 80, 90% better. I tip my hat to the mayor and thank her, but it's really not the long-term answer. The long-term answer is a mega facility, a residential facility for people who can't make it with services. You know, I ran for Congress and I met a lot of people, and it was a vet that takes care of homeless vets. And he said, it's more than four walls and a roof. They need services, alcohol rehab, psychiatric. And unfortunately, just putting them in a hotel room, I don't think that's the answer.
Do you know where they are? Which hotels?
I don't know. I sort of heard scuttlebutt. I was there yesterday after surgery. I went by, and I talked to some people, and supposedly I think they tried to get them into hotels. I don't have no idea which hotels.
So everybody went peacefully?
Most of them. Yeah, everybody's pretty peaceful. And I actually talked to a couple of homeless guys, but, you know, there are a few that just wanted to stay, and they did not forcibly remove them. They're trying to counsel them and find special housing in areas they like. It's amazing.
In areas they like?
Exactly.
Yeah, why do they want to stay there on this San Vicente stretch? Is there something that they is attractive to them about it? What, I don't get it.
Well, one gentleman said that it's close to where he's going to school and that they wanted to move him to a further out location, a remote location, and it wasn't convenient or not.
Is that for real? Like, what kind of a school?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of some training he was taking, and their location was too far. And I guess you could imagine that would be true, but I mean, it's a difficult situation to deal with. You want to be compassionate, but on the other hand, you have to enforce the law. My goodness.
Yeah. Do we know what happened to the naked woman on the sofa?
I don't know. I remember that she was on the other side of my building initially, and she was always naked, but she was mostly in her tent, and then the tent burned down, almost burned down my building, and then she went the median strip on a couch. You saw that.
Yes, the whole world saw that.
Well, Dr. Wright, you know how this Bass Inside Safe program works. They're supposed to only be doing this for what they call the troubled encampments, and what worked for you guys is that this got a lot of TV attention, so it made its way up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, into the mayor's office.
Media people. No, you guys did a good job.
And what about that worthless councilwoman then? Katie Yaroslavsky.
She wasn't interested until the story made the front pages.
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
Just issuing statements about this is unacceptable, and we're going to do everything we can.
Because then I saw a quote of hers recently. Well, this takes months to coordinate. But they actually did it in a day when they finally decided to do it.
A day.
Yeah,
correct. But, you know, this is not, in my opinion, the long-term solution.
No, it's not.
You know, Camarillo State Hospital, 1,500 acres, and it was for people with developmental disabilities. And then our legislature so smartly passed this law that you couldn't intern somebody. You couldn't commit them. So guess what happened? They all left. And where'd they go?
Out on the street.
How would you describe the people at this encampment? Were they drug addicted, alcohol addicted, mental health problems, or they're just lazy and they can't get it together? I mean, how would you describe a lot of them?
Well, I spoke with several times Officer O'Brien, that's his beat, and between him and myself, we've learned that there's a variety of people. Many are drug addicted and selling drugs, and that's why they don't want to go to an organized residence, because they want to be free to do that. A lot of mental illness. You hear people just screaming. One gentleman just sweeps the same part of the sidewalk all day. And that repetitive behavior is typical of psychosis.
Yes.
So it's a mixed bag. But between drug addiction and alcoholism, I mean, that's probably the majority of them.
All right, Dr. Wright, thanks for talking to us once again, and I guess it's a better situation for you now there.
It's a lot better, but I don't think in the long term we can do this piecemeal. We've got to have a large facility that can house thousands of people.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, she's just trying to get a media victory by grabbing people into motels as fast as she can.
We got to build a lot of those facilities. That's what they ought to be working on.
But honestly, I was suspicious about them, but they did do it. And so for my selfishness, it's better, but not, I don't think, for the long run.
Yeah, well, let us know if they keep them away, because that's always the next big question.
Absolutely, that's the big question.
Yeah. All right, well, good talking with you, Dr. Wright.
You too.
All right, we'll talk to you again. Thanks.
Dr. Ken Wright, ophthalmologist in the Beverly Grove area, which has had this homeless encampment problem. I heard a couple of the vagrants interviewed this morning, and they were kind of complaining. One was saying, they wouldn't tell us where they're taking us. We think it was a motel in Linwood. That's far from here. This is not the area that we know.
You don't own property here.
Another one said, we could only take 2 bags of our stuff, and I'm a size 13 shoe. I put my shoes in there and 2 outfits, and it's a full bag. That's not fair. That's really what I heard. Seriously. We have to take on all their troubles and their problems.
Go get a job, buy yourself a big house, buy yourself lots of shoes. That's what Deborah did.
You'll have room for all your stuff.
I love shoes.
Deborah has a big house. She's got room for hundreds of shoes.
And she wears like a size one.
A six.
A children's six.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 till 4 after 4, John and Ken on demand, the podcast. You can catch up what you miss.
Yeah, and the Moist Line is coming back tomorrow during the 3 o'clock hour. We're taking applications. So you want to leave a message, use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon. That's an easy way to do it. Call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86. Operator standing by. Not really.
But
not till later in the day when he gets to the calls. He doesn't take live Moist Line calls. 1-877-664-7886. I remember there was this idea when you and I did a show on the road one day that we would do a live Moist Line from... I was like, no.
An in-person Moist Line.
You don't realize that there's editing and calls that are rejected.
A lot
that go into this to make the Moist Line sound the way it does.
Yeah.
When people are asked to speak off the top of their head, it will not work. Yeah.
No, so. This, you, what you hear every week is the cream.
Yeah, sadly.
Sour cream, but...
You know what's coming on the show after 2:30, KFI News reporter Blake Trolley for the story that got us worked up yesterday. We have an L.A. nonprofit that's handing out meth pipes to the homeless on Skid Row. And even the vagrants were distressed in the news story we played yesterday.
That's right. They were upset.
What are you doing, man? That guy could barely speak,
These are people who have fried nearly every available brain cell with meth. They can barely articulate, and they were pissed off that free meth pipes were being handed out by this idiotic, stupid nonprofit. And it's not a nonprofit because, as was demonstrated in the story, this was Gina Silver from Fox 11. She had the story. They take $12 million in revenue, I guess tax money and donations. $7 million go for salaries and benefits. So you know what that game is.
So it's only $5 million for services, which includes meth pipe producers?
Meth pipes are pretty cheap. No, these nonprofits exist to enrich the people who run
them. To build a bureaucracy, exactly.
And
to pay the top people big bucks.
The place is called Homeless Healthcare Los Angeles.
Did you look up the salaries of the top executives there? Did you do that? Or
No, I did not, but I'm going to.
Because they have to file taxes.
I saved a couple of the pages, and I got to the board of directors page. And
I told you yesterday they were selling hoodies and T-shirts with their name on them on the website.
You know what's interesting? If you click the board of directors link on the front page, it doesn't go anywhere. They turn the link dead. But if you Google it, you could get to the page. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that's because of yesterday's response.
I don't know. It's very suspicious. But I Googled the page, and then I could find it. But you can't get... I've noticed
Be careful, or we'll dox them.
By the way,
I just like that term, D-O-X. We'll dox them.
I've noticed whenever we come across these nonprofit companies or sometimes legislative boards, city councils, often the link to the names of the council doesn't work. They make it hard to find, and you can't see their bios, and their contact information doesn't exist.
Well, this is because of Trump. The show goes silent. Because that's what the media will tell you, that because Trump started all this rage against government officials, that's exactly why they're removing all their information from websites, because they'll be tracked down and they'll be screamed at. Of course, it works both ways. The progressives scream at judges and everybody else they can find that they don't like.
Yeah, well, I don't think collecting $12 million, paying out $7 million in salaries is a legitimate operation. Yeah.
I think what I'm about to say, these two words, I'm guessing you're pretty ready to ban. All right? It goes along with this story. And
I'm always in a banning mood.
I know, and you've banned a number of expressions that are used on the show, right? Mm-hmm. That we've talked about over the years. What was the one from a couple of months ago that was coming up like every day, and you're like, all right, we can't say those words anymore?
Probably a weather term. I think we banned a lot of weather
terms, right. Yeah. Bomb cyclone.
Bomb cyclone and atmospheric river and all
this
that.
This one is... harm reduction.
Oh, that's bad. Yes, definitely.
Ouch! I guess right. Well, that's at the center of what we're going to talk about with the meth pipes. Also in this story, there's a free vending machine at Santa Clara University, and it's got the drug naloxone in it. I mean, really, again, the idea of this is, the banned words, harm reduction. We just want to save lives. We don't care if you use drugs and you're splayed out on the floor. Just get some Naxalone handy and save yourself, or have somebody save you. That's what they're doing.
It's okay to have Naxalone available if you want to rescue a college student who inadvertently popped an Adderall and it turned out to be fentanyl. But right. If you take drug addicts who are dying in front of you and hand them more drugs so they can die sooner, like in the meth pipe situation, every time they take another hit of meth, they're that much closer to being dead from a meth overdose or the brain damage that they're suffering from.
Right.
So that's horrible. But if you actually have a vending machine, what, at a college dorm?
And because it's free, somebody will just go in there and take them all and go sell them, right?
Yeah, that's probably.
I think this is just asking for it. One guy is going to say, oh, free, I'll just keep pushing these buttons and take all the Naxalone out of here and I'll find a place to sell it where the drug addicts are.
Look, I just don't think
it's very smart.
I'm kind of amazed that if you see they're now putting in colleges these Naxalone machines, doesn't that occur to you, I guess I shouldn't take any random pill from anybody anymore because now that it's so deadly that you have to have a special display case.
Yeah, I wonder what percentage now of social media pills are laced with any kind of fentanyl. Somebody should do a study. Somebody should buy a bunch of pills off of social media and then analyze them in the lab and tell us what percentage of them actually have fentanyl in them. I'd like to know that.
I mean, why would you keep taking the pills? And street pills I'm talking about, right? Right. I mean, there's plenty of legal highs.
But opioids are addictive. That's why people take the pills.
Yeah.
They feel like it gives them a release from whatever their stress or problems are. I don't know.
But some of these, they go for a quickie hit. I think they're in a pre-addiction state, although you can get addicted after just one or two pills.
You can, yeah. Now, did you see they arrested, I think it's in the Inland Empire in Riverside. Oh, yeah, here it is. Norco. They've arrested a mother accused her of murder because her 17-month-old child died from fentanyl. 17 months. Apparently, the woman had it in the home and the child accidentally ingested it.
There's a record number of children. Not teenagers, but little children.
Yeah, pediatric deaths are way up from fentanyl.
So
the numbers were really low, so I hate to use these crazy percentages that they use, but yes, definitely this is beginning to be a bigger problem.
It's a warning sign how much is out there. And also, how many people are taking pills and getting high and stoned?
Yeah, because we're circling the drain.
Yeah.
Right? Remember when Trump was running for president, we had a bad opioid problem. We didn't have fentanyl. But we had many people dying of overdoses because that's how they were dealing with the unemployment problem and everything else they were frustrated over.
And they're all alone and isolated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird time.
All right, well, when we come back, we'll get more on that meth pipe story. Blake Trolley's got a little to tell us about this nonprofit. As John mentioned, they took in $12 million. He said they spent $7 million on salaries.
That's what they had in the news story. Gina Silva did on Fox 11, yeah.
All right, this is the nonprofit that's handing out meth pipes to the homeless on Skid Row. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, we'll talk about the border situation coming up after 3 o'clock. Of course, the expiration of Title 42, the reimposition of something called Title 8. Tell you what that's about, and it may be the explanation as to why so many people are trying to get into the United States as soon as possible, lining up at the border. The House of Representatives in D.C. did pass a bill. Of course, it's Republican-controlled, dealing with the border. We'll tell you all about this. And yes, we'll play a couple of clips from last night's CNN town hall featuring Donald Trump.
That was entertaining.
Did you watch it?
I watched a bunch of clips. Right. Late last night and this morning. And
he kind of took over the thing.
It,
huh?
Yeah, it was the show. It was the Trump show.
The audience
show.
Was packed with his fans.
It was like the old days again. that wasn't actually a town hall meeting. He turned it into his own rally.
All right. So yesterday we brought you a story from Fox 11 News by Gina Silva about government-funded meth pipes being handed out to L.A.'s homeless on Skid Row. The nonprofit behind this is something called Homeless Healthcare Los Angeles. Allegedly, workers drive around Skid Row in golf carts, handing out drug paraphernalia and to those in need.
Even the meth addicts couldn't believe it. And the president is Scott Fears. He's a doctor and a professor of psychiatry at UCLA. And I found their board of directors and all the principals here. And it's a lot of rich people. It's people in finance. It's a lot of people with doctorates. Business people. I don't know why they're doing this.
Blake Trolley from KFI News with more on the story. Let's see what he was able to dig up.
Yeah, guys. So, you know, all of this started when a guy named Tony Anthony took video of all of this. He runs a TikTok page. I looked into it. He takes videos around Skid Row of many different things, cooking, just different elements of life on Skid Row. And he claims, and he has video of a golf cart, which appears to belong to Homeless Healthcare LA, handing these pipes out. He appears to ask for one, and pretty effortlessly, a lady inside a golf cart that, again, looks like it's labeled Homeless Healthcare LA, hands it to him. Without really much hesitation at all. He claims they had boxes of this stuff. People in the area say broken used pipes can be found all over the street. Tony Anthony is against this, as is Andy Bales, who runs Union Rescue Mission. I know you guys have him on from time to time. I spoke with him about this earlier today. He thinks this is a terrible idea.
It's heartbreaking to me because I know that it is enabling a deadly addiction. And these pipes were handed out to people without any education that I know of or that is aware. And they also did not make sure that any Narcan accompanied. And by the way, those pipes going out, it means they could be smoking meth or smoking meth mixed with fentanyl or smoking meth mixed with fentanyl with horse tranquilizer, which is not able to be overcome by Narcan. So in other words, if you overdose on a mix of fentanyl and horse strength, you can't be brought back by Narcan. So they're handing out meth pipes that potentially could be deadly, and nobody's following to see if everybody's okay. They're just handing out the pipes and making it able for people to overdose.
And Homeless Healthcare LA, guys, really focuses on this harm reduction model that we've heard about. It offers other services, including needle exchange, overdose reversal kits, hygiene services, behavioral health. You know, and when you talk about harm reduction, it really takes on kind of this attitude of, well, people are going to do drugs. We're going to try to mitigate the risks, knowing we're going to do drugs anyways. That's kind of the philosophy.
The risk is actually taking the meth into your system. They're making it easier. They're not reducing the harm. They're creating the harm.
This makes
me furious. This is such baloney.
And Bales went on to say that this is not the answer in his mind. He says, you know, recovery really needs to be the direction that this heads in. I heard you guys breaking down the financials. I'm working to figure out exactly how much this organization gets currently in government money. It's been reported that in 2019, it got more than $11 million in government funding. John, I heard you breaking that down, that $12.4 million operating fund in 2019, a huge portion of that going to salaries. But again, Bales
says... Yeah, I would like to find out how much the principals are making here, because I'm sure they're making six-figure salaries for handing out meth pipes like they were part of some street drug gang.
I sent you an email, John, from a listener who looked them up in Charity Navigator.
Yeah.
But they got good ratings. They rate charities, but they also had Mark Casanova, executive director, $157,000 a year.
$157,000.
Amber Roth, director of operations, $135,000, and Miguel Perez, the controller, $125,000.
Yeah, I got. You have these names listed here on their page.
I did look up Casanova. He is the executive director.
That's not harm reduction. That's giving them the mechanism so they can kill themselves. I'm so sick of the double talk. That creates harm. That's not getting them off meth. It's helping them destroy their brains quicker and die quicker. Do you see any meth addicts of retirement age? They die. They die in the street, and it's a terrible death. And this organization is hastening their death. And they're making money off this, hand over fist.
Blake, I guess the claim was that there's dangerous meth pipes, and they're trying to give them, like, clean needles. Is the idea here?
I guess that's the idea. Guys, I'm actually trying to clarify exactly what the position is. I've reached out to the organization for comment. I have not heard back from them. But again, I've reached out. Andy Bales, Union Rescue Mission, again, he says this is not the answer, that the government really, the county really should start funding more money in this, you know, in more of a recovery effort. You know, he says it's dangerous the way, you know, that this is all being funded. And again, he heavily works with the homeless population down on Skid Row. Guys, I want to pivot here for a second. I heard you talking also about Beverly Grove while we're all talking about this. And I think it's important we also talk about the cleanup on that site. I know yesterday I sent you guys the press release that Inside Safe had gone there, and it sounds like earlier this hour you guys are also talking about the Beverly Grove cleanup.
Yeah, in San Vicente, yeah.
Yeah, so this morning I went over there. Again, Inside Safe started yesterday, and we show up this morning. There were still quite a few tents lining the street of San Vicente. The mayor's Inside Safe program began working there yesterday. 21 people were housed yesterday. The city says it expects to house another 8 by the end of the day today. Again, the city made a big push yesterday to start housing people. Today, they came back to house even more people. Officials say they think just about everyone who was there has accepted the housing. But again, businesses in the area say they're skeptical that these camps are going to return, including this woman who runs an interior design firm.
So it is good that they moved them, but I'm pretty sure more are going to come. And it's going to be the same situation, because it would cost sanitation. They would come, just take a look, and leave. And until yesterday, we finally saw some action. But I do believe it's going to happen over and over again.
And why is that? Why do you think they'll come right back?
Because there's just no, like, how do I say this? There's no, it just feels like it doesn't matter. It's not important enough, maybe to the mayor. And when we were making calls, they wouldn't do anything until now, until more people started joining and making complaints. But I just think there's no real, like, regulation of the whole situation.
She told me that, and I didn't know this, but the last time I was there, I spoke to her. She didn't mention this, that a pediatrician actually had to move out of there because parents didn't want to take their kids to that office. And again, I spoke with another woman, another business owner. She said she's worried it's going to pop up again. She said she saw a tent actually being set up while they were breaking down the tents yesterday. Also, guys, you know, Inside Safe is not an enforcement. It is more of a, you know, more of a suggestion. You know, we have housing available for you. And I do wonder if there's going to be any stubborn cases. I spoke with one woman today. She said she'd only accept housing if it was a female shelter, a woman's shelter. The city officials said they did have her lined up to go to a woman's shelter. But again, that kind of goes to show you some of the pushback they might be able to get. I spoke with another guy. He actually was taken to the housing yesterday. This housing is down. At least what was told to me is that the housing they're taking them to is near SoFi Stadium. And one of the people I spoke with this morning, and this was pretty early this morning, was already back at the campsite. He had been taken down to SoFi Stadium, but he was worried about his friend's tent and his friend's belongings, so he got on public transit and went right back to Beverly Grove.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Blake. Thank you very much for that report.
All right. Yep.
Yeah, that's the guy I heard interviewed this morning, that he went back there to help another friend of his, and they told all these stories about it. They're telling us where we're going, and they only got two bags for our stuff. All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're close to getting Tom McClintock on in a few minutes after 3 o'clock, because he has a bill he's written that the House is probably going to pass to try to clean up this border situation, or at least allow the Republicans to make their stand. Also, Lori Lightfoot, the Chicago mayor, has issued a state of emergency because of all the illegal aliens that are coming in. Emergency shelter and resettlement. She wants federal and state aid. They're out of money. They're out of space.
Hold on a second. Just trying to read something here. Did you have more?
Oh. Well, I could go on for a while, but I mean, that's the headline. Yeah. You know, that's the headline here. You know, she had declared Chicago a sanctuary city, just like Eric Adams, and both cities have run out of space. They got illegal aliens in the streets. In fact, in New York City, there was a law that said every homeless person is entitled to a bed. So New York City has these massive shelters, and the homeless have to go to them every night. And Adams has suspended that rule because they have no more beds because of all the illegal aliens that have ended up in New York. And now Lori Lightfoot in Chicago says, same thing here. We're out of room. So we're declaring a state of emergency.
Yeah, the bill that we're going to talk to Tom McClintock, it has passed. It is the Secure the Border Act passed. So you said that it's in the
I heard it was headed there an hour ago.
No, 219 to 213, it passed.
Yeah.
In fact, two Republicans voted against the bill. One of them's a Californian, John Duarte. I looked him up. Pistachio farmer from Fresno.
He barely made it. His election was one of those that was hanging for like 2 or 3 weeks before they declared a winner.
I'm guessing it's because of the farm workers he voted against the bill, because he's got the farm workers and the pistachios.
Or maybe
crops.
He's nuts. Maybe we need to bring back political human sacrifice.
Again, this bill, which is full of good stuff, really. They want to finish the border wall. They want to hire thousands of agents. It's Republican, so you can guess that it's better than anything that Biden would be doing. But I don't know if it'll get past the Senate, do you?
No, but it's time to, you know, lay down your marker. You know, each party.
Yeah, which side are you on?
Each party ought to say, this is what we stand for here. The Republicans want to shut down the border and fix this situation. What do the Democrats do? They are now 10,000 people a day are being detained at the border.
I've seen 11,000, 12,000 are the numbers I'm seeing.
Well, because it goes up every day. And this is before Title
42.
42. I was thinking Title 8, Title 42.
Title 42 is the one's expiring tonight.
Right. Title 8 is going to take over, and that's the asylum provision in the law.
Yeah,
and
Title 8 is what normally is in place, right?
So they're already getting 10, 11, 12,000 people a day, and that is a huge increase from normal before Title 42 is lifted.
Tomorrow,
you're not going to believe what you're going to see tomorrow.
Well, I think what you said earlier in the show is true. A lot of these people don't know anything about Title 42 and Title 8, but they're getting the message that they got to get there.
Right.
Because the smugglers are pushing that message. Get there. Get there. Something's happening, and you got to act now.
Yeah.
Right? It's like some sort of a fire sale.
Well, the change in titles is important to us because it drastically changes how the Border Patrol is going to deal with these people. And it allowed the Border Patrol to turn back a lot of immigrants because of health reasons, because they invoked Title 42. It's a World War II provision. It was to make sure soldiers didn't come back to the U.S. and start spreading a lot of weird diseases that they picked up in the war zones in you know, every, from North Africa and Europe and elsewhere. And it was used for the pandemic because they didn't want thousands of illegal aliens coming in, untested, unvaccinated, infected with COVID, spreading it even more. But now that the health emergency is over, Title 42 is over, and they can no longer turn back the immigrants for that reason.
I, you know, we've been covering the border on this radio station for decades. It has never been this bad. Never.
No. This is
even as much screaming as we did when Bush was president, Obama was president.
You know,
nothing like this.
Bush.
I mean, millions of people came in Biden's first year or two. And now we're looking at unbelievable, overwhelming numbers. And I think Brandon Judd nailed it yesterday. Brandon Judd is the head of the Border Patrol Council, the union for the Border Patrol agents. He came on the show yesterday. Go listen to the On Demand if you need to hear the interview. He came on right at the 1 o'clock hour. He said it's because the activists have taken over inside the Biden administration. The open border people are making the decisions and ruling. And even though they're trying to calm down any elements of the media by saying BS stuff like the border's under control and 90% of migrants are being turned away. I know. That's just, what Jean-Pierre, what's her name, said.
I know. They're
Karine
just,
Jean-Pierre.
Just blatant lying.
Yeah. Right. But they're trying to act like, oh, and even the Times carries their water by saying, oh, now more stringent measures will be put in place. All of this is a facade. They're gaslighting you. They want, because they call it a humanitarian crisis. These people need our help and we have to let them in. And we don't care that the U.S. has immigration laws. It doesn't matter. This overrides any of that.
And they're now sending these immigrants to little towns and cities that don't know how to deal with it. They don't have the facilities. They don't have the money. It's going to fill up the schools. This is a massive invasion, and it's been covered up by most of the news media. And Biden and his crew lies every day about it. When you have a senile president and you have activist employees working in the Department of Homeland Security and the Border Patrol, this is what you get. The lunatics in the Biden administration are running things, and Biden is snoring. He's taking a long-term nap here.
All right.
I don't think he even knows what's going on.
Tom McClintock's coming on next. The Congressman, John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.